Welcome to yet another edition of Toonami Therapy, and this time we're going to be going over the stuff that aired on Toonami on June 17th and 18th, if I have those dates right, which I might not, and I apologize if I didn't. But in any case, it would be around that period of time. I am Michael. I'm here with Tommy. And starting this episode, we've decided, because I just do the decisions around here sometimes. Anyway, that we're going to do them instead of in the order they aired, the alphabetical order, because I don't know, I guess it just makes it easier to find, if you're, you know, want to find a particular episode, it's easier to just do it alphabetically than remember what order everything happened to aired on that. So if years from now you're listening to old archives, you will thank me for this. All right, so you ready?
Yeah.
All right, so, but before we actually, next up is Attack on Titan episode 33, but before we actually discuss it, I might as well mention that they've announced that, yes, they are going to make a season 3, and it's going to air next year.
And it's going to be 12 episodes?
We don't know. I don't think they've announced anything about that. The only thing I think we've really gotten is they had the preview, sort of video, but and it just showed the covers of the remaining volumes up to volume 22, which indicates that they might be going all the way up to that, which actually is a reasonable enough place to end a season. I don't see how in the world you can get that's about 40 chapters worth into 12 episodes, so we might have another 25, 26 episode season.
Well, I'm not sure what to think yet. I have to see how the rest of this season goes before I get too excited about that.
Yeah, I mean, maybe they're not going to necessarily do that. Maybe they're just doing that because, hey, we're just going to show you the stuff that's going to happen in the future. Because, you know, though, I think that's all the volumes that are out at the moment. I mean, the manga is still past that point because some of the chapters haven't been put into volumes. So it might have just been that. We don't know. It indicated that that it's probably going to be a longer season that's going to be that's going to adapt up to that point. But we'll see. The big thing to me, though, is that it's next year, so we don't have to wait 4 years between seasons again.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so that brings us then to the episode, in which they got ready to go after Eren, and that was pretty much it.
Yeah, this episode right here is why I'm a little bit hesitant about getting too excited about season 3 because it's increasingly becoming full of flashbacks and people angsting and Mikasa yelling, "Eren!" and not much more than that. And it's starting to get me frustrated because it was going so well and now it's just becoming the same stuff over and over.
Yeah, I do. The flashback was basically completely pointless, and I say that especially because it wasn't in the manga. They just added it for the anime. What they did was, here, because I double-checked the chapter again. There's a part where I can't remember how to say his name, that guy who was with them, and when he's talking to Armin and Mikasa, he just, you know, when he was talking about, you know, like, you saying, like, you're still doing the same things you, as kids, and then there's, in that panel, there's sort of a drawing of them, of, like, a scene from that flashback we saw. And that's it. There's, like, just that one panel kind of showing that. So they took one panel and padded it out to 5 minutes.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's... yeah, that's one of the things that just gets me frustrated. I honestly, whenever I heard about Attack on Titan at first, I thought, well, Mikasa's going to be my favorite character. I mean, she looks like Rukia, and I kind of like Rukia, and she's, you know, the lead female character. So she's obviously going to be great. And she's turned out to be pretty useless, except for these flashbacks where she saves Aaron all the time. That's the only thing she ever does. She's got, like, this obsession with Aaron. And she doesn't have much of a character besides that.
Yeah, unfortunately, like I said, it was just kind of... It's basically set up for what will hopefully be more interesting things. Honestly, probably proving why she's... I did notice that the episode suddenly picked up as soon as, you know, Hanji actually does something and, like, right, starts pointing out there should be going this part. And I'm like, thank you, Hanji! This is why you are one of my favorite characters.
Yeah.
Yeah, unfortunately, there's just not really that much to talk about in this episode. So I'm sure there will probably be more next. But unfortunately, I would say this is probably definitely the weakest episode of this season so far.
Yeah, it wasn't too good. That's pretty much all I got.
Mm-hmm. Although I will notice that I did, and I didn't realize this until now because I watched the original season so long. The commander of the scout regiment, his name is pronounced Ervin. I just thought it was Erwin because that's like kind of how it's written, but I guess it's one of those, like, you know, sort of German names where it's a V, which does make it funny that in the preview the announcer person says Erwin. So. Okay, but that's it for Attack on Titan. We talked a bunch for something that there wasn't really much to talk about, ultimately. But hopefully next time we'll see better. All right, so then, well, I will say I think more happened in Attack on Titan than in Dragon Ball Super.
Yeah, I completely... forget what happens in this episode because
I'm just really waiting for this arc to end because I've seen a lot of people say that the series does get better after the first two arcs because they're just the adaptations of the movie, so they have a ton of padding as they try to get what was a movie length into, you know, all these episodes.
But now I remember what I wanted to say about this. Yeah, this is what I call the J.J. Abrams arc of Dragon Ball because it's basically playing all off nostalgia and no actual substance. So that's exactly what J.J. Abrams has been doing for the last 10 years. So that's what this is doing too by bringing back Frieza and now Ginyu.
Yeah, the especially weird thing is I might as well give the synopsis quick. So Tagama, who, you know, is built up as this really strong guy, just happens to come across Ginyu, who is stealing that frog's body. So then Ginyu just writes something in the dirt, you know, and then the guy reads it as change now, and apparently someone else saying it is enough to make them swap bodies, which brings up the question of why in the world did he never do this to anyone before this point? Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe you can say that, like, he only knew how to write this other language and not, you know, ours. But it seems like, you know, you could still try to learn it by finding some stuff. But who knows? Whatever. Anyway, so the point is, now Ginyu's in his body. And outside of just some a few bits of comedy in which, you know, he still acts all kind of goofy and stuff, you know, with his crazy poses, it really doesn't make much of a difference. Because he just goes and fights and, you know, beats them, and then Gohan goes Super Saiyan, and then he seems to be winning, but then Frieza's like, okay, that's... okay, I'm getting a little tired by all this padding, so I'm going to swoop in and start attacking, and basically starts annihilating Gohan. And, yeah, that's largely it. There is a fact, although I did want to mention Oh, when they're fighting Taguma, or maybe this was after Ginyu took over his body, I can't remember. Piccolo gets his arm, you know, ripped off. And I'm just thinking, of course the one guy who can regenerate body parts gets his arm ripped off. Yeah.
And Piccolo, why is Piccolo so useless? Like, I thought he was the, what they call him? Now I forget what it was. It was the Super Namekian or something like that.
Yeah.
And for the Super Namekian, he's pretty weak.
Well, he's still better. Yeah, pretty much. I mean, he's still better than, like, some of the guys they've got there, like Tien and Master Roshi. But yeah, it's just really an issue that that's just gone as Dragon Ball has went along, in which, like, you know, it becomes just more and more about how, you know, it's just Goku and sometimes Vegeta or Gohan who is like the most critical thing.
Which is like, wow, I mean, yeah, that's pretty much all Sonin, I guess. Except, you know, for a few, but...
I mean, I don't...
Bleach, Naruto, that same thing there, you know?
Well, I don't know. A complaint I heard a lot from a lot of people, especially about the final arc, was that Ichigo wasn't involved enough in it.
The manga?
Like... Honestly, even before that, when you, for example, like, there were a lot of fights. I mean, sure, when he went up against Aizen, it was just like Ichigo. But, you know, there was a lot of fights devoted to other people previously in that arc. So they at least, you know, did stuff.
Maybe.
Even if it was ultimately just fighting the Espada who Aizen just ends up killing anyway. okay. And one final comment I wanted to mention is it's really weird for when they flash back to stuff from the original series. It's really weird because the animation looks totally different because it was like back in the 90s. Mm-hmm. So you're just going between them and it looks really weird. But anyway, yep, episode 21, Dragon Ball Super. And now we get to that series that was animated in the 90s, Dragon Ball Z Kai. And, all right, were you all excited to see Goku and Vegeta fight? Well, too bad, because we have an episode of posturing before we actually get to that. I mean, really, that's basically it. I mean, there's some stuff, like... All the only really important thing is that it's strongly implied that Vegeta basically let himself be taken over, you know, to get more powerful and force Goku to fight him. And then he sort of kills some people to force Goku to fight him. And then that's pretty much the sum of all the plot that happens. But it was really just an episode as set up for the thing that you thought was going to happen this episode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, this one I kind of tuned out of because nothing was happening, so...
Probably the best part was just the comic relief with Mr. Satan.
Yeah, Mr. Satan as usual.
Yeah. Alright, Ghost in the Shell, episode 19. So, in this one, some guy who is an assemblyman in the Russian government, I think it was, who has ties to the mafia or something. I don't know. So there's some, it was kind of confusing because they keep talking about, like, Blindfold Ivan, and then there's also the Northern Territories Mafia. I'm looking at them. They're supposed to be the same thing. So long story short, his daughter gets kidnapped by the group that he's been protecting by insisting it doesn't exist. So he's basically, they're able to convince him to, you know, admit the whole thing publicly so that they can find her, and then she gets saved and along with everyone else. And there's also some sort of stuff about the person who took her because they were being set up by stuff, and it was just an okay episode.
Yeah, not really much to say about this. I don't like these heavily political things. I mean, I'm not saying.
I mean, this thing was made. This thing aired back in 2003. So
no, yeah, that I'm not meaning like that. Okay. I'm meaning just like, you know, the Gundam stuff, where it's all this babble and, you know, not much actual substance, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how to describe it.
I just am just kind of annoyed about how many standalone episodes we've had in a row. Like, let me look back. Okay, so, all right, so if we count the chat room episode in which nothing happened as the last sort of arc episode, we've had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 episodes in a row that are all standalone.
So basically the complex barely even showed up this season.
Yeah. Although glancing at a description of the next episode, it looks like we're finally going to be getting back to that in the next. So that's something.
That's good.
At least hopefully it will actually be a continuation rather than all of that chat room stuff. Yeah. Let me see. Okay, no, wait, I'm sorry, I miscounted. There was a later one that sort of had something to do with the Laughing Man, kind of. So, 8 episodes of standalone stuff, which still isn't, still a bit more than I think there should be, considering that was probably the most interesting thing the series had been doing.
Mm-hmm.
But yep, that's episode 19, Ghost in the Shell. Hopefully things will be more interesting next episode, especially because I think we've got like 6 episodes left in the season. That seems like it would be about the time to start, you know, getting more into that sort of stuff. But next up, episode 55, Hunter Hunter.
Yeah, so basically Kurapika goes and explains his abilities to Gon and then to Killua and Leorio, and they agree to help him go after the Phantom Troop. Meanwhile, the Phantom Troop kind of just sits around and fights with each other. Well, not actual fights, but arguing with each other. And Hisoka, for some reason, decided to change his fortune so that they wouldn't know what he was actually, what his fortune actually was. And then they finally decide to separate and go in groups and to make 50 dummy hideouts in order to fool anyone so that they won't know where their hideout is. And there's also one scene which I won't give away, but one scene that's a big how can I put it? It gives something away, but I don't want to give that away, so I won't say which scene that was. But it kind of tips you off that something is going to happen. So I'll explain which scene that was once the thing happens, which I'm not sure if it's next episode or not.
Okay. Yeah, well, it did explain why Hisoka... I mean, obviously we know why he changed it. It's because it totally incriminated him as helping Kurapika. But it does, but he still made it so that it was still sort of incriminating, but it turned out that it was, he did it actually as a convoluted way of tricking the rest of the troop into thinking that he had done that, that Kurapika had done that sort of dagger thing to him that made him so that he can't talk about him, which Krollo figures out, and So he figures out the thing that Hisoka made up, and it was convoluted, but it did at least explain why, because the whole reason for that was to try to convince the others to actually stay in town rather than completely leaving. So we did get an explanation for that, at least.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, it was not bad, but at the same time, it was one of those things where I watched it, and I looked back and thought, huh, there really wasn't that much that happened.
Yeah. It was very low on substance, that's for sure. And I mentioned this in my blog post, but this episode in particular, the boys' voices didn't sound very good. They sounded way too female, way too feminine, and I don't know why that exactly is, but like why they sounded more feminine than usual, but that's something I noticed in this episode.
I didn't notice it, but I might not have been really paying attention to the voices, so I don't know.
Well, if you've seen the other stuff that those voice actresses do, it really sounds like they're characters from the other shows.
That might be it. I haven't seen that much that I can remember that they were in. I mean, there probably were some, but I don't. But like, they weren't at least doing the same voice. And I remember you mentioned that the person who did Killua's voice is basically the same voice as which Sailor Scout was it in Sailor Moon?
Sailor Mars.
Mars, yeah. Sailor so Mars. I can definitely see that, you know, having this essentially the same voice come out of those two different characters can make things feel pretty weird if you're used to it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, next up, our new show, Lupin the Third, Episode 1. So, I'm curious, what did you think of it?
Didn't like it.
Oh, okay. Well, I thought it was okay. It wasn't as good as I remember, like, the older series was, but I don't know if that's nostalgia talking or if it really just isn't as good.
I didn't understand anything that was going on, and it wasn't very entertaining either. It was very confusing.
Yeah,
I didn't like it.
That was an issue with this episode, because I remember previously it kind of did more to sort of get you into understanding what the premise was, whereas this just kind of throws you in. Basically, so the Lupin character, he and that sort of samurai guy and that Goemon and that guy with like the sort of hat and the gun, Daisuke Jigen there. Basically, they just kind of go around and try to steal stuff for sort of fun and thrill. So what he was doing here was actually marrying this person as part of this convoluted plot to be able to get this this one treasure he was trying to steal. But then there's a bunch of stuff happening because it turned out someone else was Fujiko, who is his sort of semi-girlfriend, was after it. But then it turned out that the person he had been marrying in this whole thing was actually manipulating him in order to just steal it herself for also fun. And so basically it just all kind of ends up with everything sort of being returned to normal and stuff. But it was kind of funny when he's going, "Oh man, I should have gotten her to sign the divorce papers while she was here." That made me laugh.
Yeah, I didn't really find this too entertaining. I kind of liked how that girl who he married kind of pulled one over on him, but overall, I was so confused because everyone kept on having these disguises. And it was like, well, I didn't know who the first person was, and now I don't know who you actually are either. So it really didn't make a difference to me that you were wearing a disguise because I didn't know who your character was before or after the disguise. So, I was expecting this was like a reboot of the series. I didn't expect this was like the fourth season or something of it, that isn't very fair to just throw us into something where we don't, you know, I don't have the slightest clue about anything about the series. In fact, today was the first time I realized that how old this thing was. So whenever I looked at it, it was like, whoa, this thing's really old. And it was like, you know, if I don't know, they just can't, you know, I'm trying to think of a example. I can't think of one right now, but just it just was too confusing of a first episode. And I don't know if they kind of just threw us into it like that, then it might be kind of, well, here's a good example, Samurai Jack.
That's actually, you know, what I was going to suggest.
Yeah, Samurai Jack. Well, I mean, I could never get into it because I didn't know what was going on, and that's the way this feels. So hopefully, I'm not holding my breath, but hopefully, you know, just like, you know, like Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood did more episodes of getting people back into it. So maybe, you know, maybe it does do something that helps me understand it. But this first episode, just too much going on. And honestly, it can be done well. You know, I've seen it been done well. As I said, Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood. It's very possible to do that. But yeah, this first episode, I wasn't too keen on.
Yeah, I found it a little annoying. It didn't really do much to set things up, because it doesn't really require that much setup to explain things. Because I know this is like the sort of fourth series, but from my understanding, like, not the events of the previous series, outside of just the general premise and characters, don't really matter in this. So if it had just spent a little more time explaining, okay, here are the characters, here's what their situation is. Like I said, Lupin and the other guys basically just kind of are thieves that kind of go around trying to steal challenging things, and that Inspector Zenigata character is the one who's continually trying to catch them. It just doesn't do that. And that's one of the things I remember from the one they aired earlier. They actually did sort of get into that more, because it kind of starts sort of portrayed it as like, okay, they haven't been doing stuff for a while, so they're getting back together to do things. And that wasn't really the case here. I mean, I did know what was going on, so I mostly enjoyed it. I'm hoping that maybe as you see more, it will make more sense.
But yeah, hopefully.
But I definitely do think they really could have done a little more sort of explanations at the start about what's going on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it wasn't bad. I should make that clear. I don't think it was a bad episode. It just was, just felt like there was too many things being thrown at me at once, and I was still busy trying to understand what the premise of the series was. And I got a few things out of it, but at the same time, I couldn't figure out, you know, why is he getting married, and, you know, why is that guy trying to stop him from getting married? And if I can't understand the things that happened in the first 2 minutes of the episode, then once you're past that, then I'm just totally lost. And that's how I remember pretty much every episode of Gundam Unicorn being. So
I don't know about you. What would happen to me usually is I would understand the first 2 minutes because that was a recap, and then the rest of the episode I would be confused by. Okay.
All right.
Yeah. Naruto's next. Naruto, okay. Shippuden, episode 162. So they're still fighting against the pains and stuff. And but the big thing is that the one that they were sort of I can't remember his name. The guy who I think, you know, is father, who he was trying to like read the mind of to discover stuff. They like seem to have learned that or whatever. So they're able to very quickly, basically, manage to figure out where Naruto is after, you know, going around and asking all those people and not actually getting answers. Which, and then they find out, you know, Naruto's training at the mountain place. And so then they figured out where he is, but it doesn't really matter because Naruto, having discovered what's going on, is heading back to the village. So that was kind of a lot of time on their part and on our part that kind of ended up being pointless.
But at the end of the episode, did he really just destroy the entire one?
Yeah, that was a little confusing. I wasn't sure about that because
was that the entire Leaf Village just dead, just like that? I mean, I didn't understand that.
It looked like he at least caused a heck of a lot of damage in it.
Because like Sakura was busy healing people, and all of a sudden she's just sitting there with no one to heal, and everything's laid waste. I don't know. I mean, was that really just like the complete Leaf Village just completely turned to nothing just like that? I mean, if he was that powerful, why didn't he do that in the first place, you know? I mean, that would have helped him get to what he was doing a whole lot faster.
I think because they were trying to find Naruto, so then when he discovers that, oh, Naruto's not in the village, we can just destroy the whole thing.
Yeah, it's just like, that's just like thousands of people who just got killed. I mean, shouldn't that be like a more important moment? I mean, that's a lot of people getting killed just like that. I don't understand why that was kind of just made to look like some minor thing. Maybe the next episode will explain that he didn't actually destroy the whole village, but I don't know. So
we'll see, because I can't really... Because when I... this is actually around the time where I sort of stopped reading the manga, so I can't really remember exactly what happened. I know what happens at the end of this arc, but I can't really remember everything that went up to it.
Mm-hmm.
All right, lastly, Tokyo Ghoul. I'm suddenly seeing an issue with us doing it alphabetically because it means we're going to end with Tokyo Ghoul all the time.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of the alphabetical thing because it's really got me confused. I just think we've done it 100 times in the order they aired. I'm just too used to that.
Yeah, maybe we'll switch back. And this will just be a one-time thing. We'll see.
We'll think about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Episode 11, Tokyo Ghoul. Well, there's a bunch of stuff about Kaneki getting tortured by some guy, but which kind of gets kind of repetitive, really. Like, he's being tortured. We cut away and deal with some stuff. It's back. Oh, he's still being tortured. Like, it's not... We don't even really know exactly what's going on other than the fact it involves counting somehow. And there being a lot of blood. But it was mostly the fact that it's just... If you're not really doing anything with it other than establishing that, you only need to show that, like, once, maybe twice, and then you can spend the rest of the episode on, well, what was more in... What wasn't great, but which was more interesting. So, the inspector people, the CCG, are raiding the Aogiri Tree's hideout. And, And what's also kind of annoying me is that we have some more flashbacks to Mato, that white-haired guy, which has made him a lot more interesting. And I'm thinking, now I'm actually kind of interested in this guy. Why do you have to kill him off?
Is he dead? Is he really dead?
Yeah, he died several episodes ago.
Well, I mean, is he really dead, though? You know, like, is he? I mean, because remember, these are ghouls we're talking about. They might be able to come back. I'm not sure.
I mean, as far as I know, he's dead. He might come back somehow. I mean, I can never completely rule something like that out. But in any case, so they're attacking, and there's not really that too much to say about that. I mean, it's a battle, and it's okay. I mean, it didn't super bore me, but it didn't really get me that interested. I did notice one thing, though. There was one observation I wanted to mention. So that weird sort of white-haired kid, Juzo, I think his name was. So they're having trouble getting in past, like, the sniper ghouls. So Juzo kind of takes this guy's motorcycle, and it actually was a little funny about how the guy's annoyed he's taking his motorcycle, although this bit of comedy felt really out of place considering some of the rest of the stuff in this episode. And so he's able to basically get in the motorcycle and then crash through the windows and then kill all the snipers when he got there. And I can't help but think that the whole reason that worked is because the snipers momentarily forgot how to use their guns, because I don't think they shoot at him while he's coming straight at them in the motorcycle.
Yeah.
But yeah, so there's that, and then the other our other characters managed to get Ian, and they're trying to find Kaneki, and it's sort of a three-way battle, essentially. Not really too much else to say, although another amusing thing I found is when Toka finds her brother again, and her brother says, "What are you doing here?" I'm thinking, you were there when your group kidnapped a person, her friend. Why do you think she's here?
Yeah, is the next episode the end of season one?
Yes,
and
I think so.
Has it been confirmed that there's going to be season two on Toonami?
I think they confirmed that when they first started airing it.
Did they? Oh, boy, crap! I don't like anything about it. Not a single thing. It's just a waste of time. It really, I don't know why people are so into this. Like, there are other series that you can get your fill of blood and gore and have it be a lot more interesting than this. This is just dull.
Yeah, I mean, I think I enjoyed it a little more than you did, but still, I'm not going to say this was particularly great. It just, well, I didn't find it as boring as a previous episode, which is something. I will still say that like I mentioned, the torture stuff just kind of felt like they just kept, cutting to it, and just, you didn't need to have that much.
Right, and here's the thing, it's like, we haven't had Kaneki's character developed very well, so it's not like we, you know, particularly care about him that much. Like, if this happens to a character who the audience really loves, then you can actually get into it. But Kaneki, like, I've never felt any emotional connection to him, and even though he is the main character, they haven't really developed him enough that I would feel like, oh, I don't want this to happen to him, you know?
Yeah. When you reviewed the episode on your blog, you sort of compared it to the Star Trek episode, Next Generation episode, Chain of Command, where Picard gets tortured, and you said that, you know, it was better because we, you know, cared about Picard. I don't think it's even really that. For me, It's the fact that in that episode, there is a point to it and a story behind it. The guy, the Cardassian, was trying to break Picard's will, essentially. And, you know, there's interesting, will Picard be able to, hold out? Will he be rescued before he completely breaks under this torture? So there's, a story and a point to
right.
it.
Right, but... Yeah, but as a child, you have to understand, as a child, when that episode first aired, it terrified me. And, I was feeling horrible because Picard, of all people, was getting tortured. Like, if it was, Data or Riker, I might have been like, so what? But whenever it was Picard, I really felt it. I was like, I hated that Cardassian guy. I hated him so bad. So... that's why that episode has always resonated with me so much, because it was like you had your favorite character getting tortured, and for him to finally, win. Well, he doesn't really win, but he really did break, but he didn't actually show that he broke. And that's what makes that episode so powerful, in my mm-hmm. opinion. But as for Tokyo Ghoul, though, Kaneki, all I know about him is that he likes books. That's pretty much the only thing I know about him. So I don't know, it's like, okay, he's getting tortured. So what,
Yeah. So, yeah, it was not great. I was okay with some of the more fighting parts of it, which at least were a little interesting, but other than that, not really that great.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, this I'm sad to say, this week in general really wasn't the best.
Yeah, it was pretty weak. I didn't mean to make that.
Oh,
hun.
Oh,
that came out by accident.
It's too bad homonym isn't a homonym for something else, because that would be funny. just some words are funny that way, like how abbreviation is a long word. Or how often people will misspell the word misspell.
Or how long short is a longer word than long.
Oh, yeah, that's another good one. But yeah, for me, I think I'll say my favorite would be Hunter Hunter. It was the best of the okay.
Yeah, I'm going with Hunter Hunter too, and it's just because of that one foreshadowing scene that I don't want to spoil, but it just, if you watch the episode like five episodes in a row, like I was doing, it blends in so well that it doesn't feel like not much happened. It kind of flows a lot better if you're watching the episodes all in a row. So in that sense, I think it's probably the best of the bunch this week.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And, I guess that's that for this week, and we'll try to do better next time.